All right, today is May 31st, 2024, and the market is, as always, as I'm recording these days, the market is still open. The market today, very, very red. Dell reported yesterday, or rather, yeah, yesterday after close, and it didn't do so hot. The sort of CapEx or the amount of money that they spend is relatively same. Their margins are improving, but dang, their top line or the total amount of money that they make just overall isn't growing much when it should still be growing because of all this AI hype. Of course, we're not going to blame all of it on Dell, but semiconductors are down, which do power AI machines. And so Nvidia is down quite a bit today, and so is SMCI and other tech stocks like MongoDB. But we have to remember that we also went up really fast. So from the, I guess, yeah, today's May 31st. Since May 1st, SPY was at $500, $500.35. It reached a peak about like 10 days ago, and it gained 6.2% in that time frame. And since 10 days ago, and counting today's price action, actually, it's down 2%, 1.96%. So while it does seem really scary right now, we have gone up twice as much as we've gone down today. And that says something because it's really easy to start panicking really quickly. And not to say that, oh, you gotta buy every single dip that you see. But media has a really good way of mongering fear because that's what drives the clicks. When you want your article to do well, or you want people to view your video or your content, fear and negative news will always outsell positive news. And with that, I thought I'd share just one of my lessons that I've learned trading my 5K account, which is now at, let me just give you guys the most up-to-date number, $7,456. So since I've started it, I've made $2,436.12. It's up almost 50% for the year, or for the past year, it's up 49.5%. So that's pretty cool. But I have taken some losses along the way, and we've had a lot of red days, a lot of scary days while I've been trading this 5K account, again, which I trade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/realthetagang. And I have here, like I show on stream and I type these notes out on stream because I have this tab that I like to share that shows like what stocks I'm looking at, what strikes I'm looking for certain stocks, what prices I'm looking at. I have a section here called the 5K account, Robinhood trading plan. I also have this like smaller section at the bottom where I write down the lessons I've learned trading the 5K account this whole time. And one of them, out of the three so far, is don't double dip losers. And so I've lost twice on Ulta put credit spreads back to back. And what I'm understanding is that you can't. Well, you can definitely do whatever you want. For me, I've made a rule where if I lose on one particular stock, I'm not gonna open the same trade as soon as the first one maybe expires or closes for a loss. I'm just gonna trade something else. So I can imagine that there's a good percentage of people that are listening to this podcast right now that are down on their position. It could be expiring today for a loss, who knows? But I feel like if you have a smaller account, you're not allowed to do strategies that maybe a bigger account can withstand longer than you, because maybe a bigger account can chase down the low and eventually start winning on the way back up. But of course, smaller accounts don't have that luxury or that buffer to be wrong too often in succession. I think with a handful of winners, a good handful, a good healthy amount of winners, that you can afford to lose pretty often on a smaller account. Everything's relative, of course, but when it comes to double dipping or, opening the same trade, or maybe like with slightly different parameters after the first trade has lost, I think that's especially bad on a smaller account. A lot of the mental sort of bandwidth that goes into trading on red days for me personally is the trades that I don't do. You know, I think before I had my own system, which is all free, by the way, I'm not gatekeeping it. Just listen to the podcast. You'll find all of it. You don't have to pay me anything. But before I found my system and the way that I like to particularly trade, the market or the trading app, whether if I was using Robinhood or tastytrade, was as big as the ocean, right? Like, there's so many features inside of these apps. There's so many indicators. And that's only just in the scope of the app. There's so much mental bandwidth that you also have in your head of like what indicators you want to look for, what news outlets you're listening to, what posts you might see. There's so many different ways to trade and so many different companies to trade, so many different strategies. So on red days when emotions are higher, maybe you're sitting on a loss, or maybe, you know, your position sizing is a little bit wrong, you're spent a little bit too much on this company when you should spend a little bit less, it can feel very chaotic. What can help with that chaotic feeling is limiting your options. And that in itself is a good thing. I talk about the Magic Gathering analogy all the time, where if you have more choices with the cards in your hand, the better off you'll be. Sometimes that isn't so good in the stock market, just because you might not be familiar with the infinite amount of possibilities of different strategies that you can deploy at any given time, where maybe if you tailored it kind of like Magic the Gathering or any sort of trading card game, you have your deck that you're going in with. Your deck limits the amount of choices you could do because you don't have access to every single card when you play against someone in Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon. You have your deck. I'm trying to say, if you have your own trading strategy, or you have a strategy in general, you have a metaphorical deck when it comes to trading, it makes your trading more streamlined, and you will stop yourself from making really, really bad trades on red days. I'd say when emotions are high, when the stock market is red, that's definitely not the time to try something new, right? Like, maybe you can try something more bearish related on a red day if it's not as bad as today. But seeing that, you know, some stocks are down like 10 to 20% that have been doing really well lately, today's a really scary day. So limiting your options, or, you know, rather maybe a better way of saying it is finding a core strategy or a system that works for you makes days like today just way easier to manage. But, you know, maybe you're just busier and you don't want to necessarily think about doing a strategy right now. You maybe just too much of a mental bandwidth sort of thing. You got your work day ahead of you and you want to do something quick. Maybe what you can do, or what you can commit to today, is just tidying your watch list. Take some time, because I know people's watch lists just get huge because they just kind of like leave all the stocks there and they kind of just like say, you know what, I'll just keep it here because I've traded it before. Maybe I'll get back in later. Why don't we commit to making your watch list more focused? Go through your watch list today, because it's a red day. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't be trading, or if you want to buy a dip, buy a few stocks here and there. Something small, something light, you know, something that you're proud of on Monday open if the stock market goes up. You know, if you like Warren Buffett, you feel like a god. But maybe if the stock market goes down, you didn't commit more, and so you feel good about that too. But something you could do that's also very low committal today is just tidying up your watch list. Remove all the stocks that you never want to trade again. Remove you know, the meme stocks. Maybe you should be focused on more of these more core blue chip strategies or more blue chip companies. Just something that will make your future trades better. Let's create that snowball effect today, or that butterfly effect of just maybe you're tidying up your watch list today, and then maybe that gets you more motivated. Monday, seeing a tidier watch list can have you more focused to focus on the more important things, like making the good trades on green days. Something else that you might get enticed to do is selling for a loss, right? Like, you see a whole bunch of red in your portfolio today, and you're just thinking, wow, you know, maybe I really didn't want to get assigned at this price, or maybe I really didn't want to hold on to these shares, and maybe I didn't want to DCA here. Maybe I'll just sell off my shares and just start over next week. These thoughts will always happen. Always, always, always. And they never really go away. I still think these feelings sometimes, you know, on scary red days, I'm like, oh man, should I just close this cashier put for a loss? Should I just close this covered call for a loss? Should I do this? Should I do that? The difference between, I'd say, me and someone else that might be newer or less experienced that have these same exact questions is that I have a default answer, right? Like, I have a rule for myself that I won't close my cashier puts for a loss. I won't close my cover calls for a loss. I'll just let the assignment happen and go from there. Or I'll let my dollar cost averaging handle my shares for me. There's so many ways that I can reason myself out of selling for a loss, which has helped me a lot this year. Where if someone that doesn't have these rules for themselves will question to close out for a loss every time one of these days happen. And I wish I could be as optimistic and say that, you know, these days are very rare, so maybe it is okay to sell for a loss today. But the fact of the matter is, if you plan on trading for the rest of your life, these days will always happen. We can't assume that the market is just going to be boring for like 6 years in a row and that this will never happen again. This will absolutely happen again. If you feel like today you want to sell for a loss, because it's a really scary red day, you can do it. But I'd say that if you do, you should come up with a sort of set of rules for yourself for next time so that you have a more defined way of doing it instead of just waiting for the next red day, because that just doesn't make sense. It shouldn't just be up to what you feel, because then you're just emotionally trading. Maybe you have like some support levels that you're drawing on a graph. Maybe you're like saying, oh, if it dips down to this price or if it gets down to this price, then I'll sell half. Then maybe if it gets down to this price, then I'll sell a quarter more. And then maybe if it gets down to this price, maybe I'll average back in. Something like that will help tremendously so that even on red days, maybe it's not red enough for you to sell all your shares. So then that filters out that entire conversation that you might have in your head, and you won't sell early. You're just waiting. And this is why trading is so difficult sometimes, is because you really do wrestle with like discipline. And it's like, you know, I'm sure a lot of you have like played sports or maybe played games with like teammates / friends. And it's really easy to like blame your teammates or, you know, it's just not your fault. It's something, some external factor happened. Trading is really cool in the sense that like you are in control the entire time. Something bad happens, you got yourself in there because you got into the trade in the first place. Like maybe, you know, you bought GameStop when it was really high and then went down a lot because of, I don't know, some news article came out saying that GameStop is a fraud. That didn't happen, but just giving some example here. Some might argue that like, oh, you know, this article came out and it's GameStop's fault. So it's this publisher's fault for the article and it's GameStop's fault for being a fraud or whatever. Again, GameStop, not actually a fraud. This is just an example. And people will blame either the publisher or the company for being the reason why that they're down. But the reason why they're down so much is because, well, maybe they didn't have a stop loss, or maybe they put in too much money that they couldn't afford to lose. There's always a way back to blame yourself. And so when it comes down to it, when you make these decisions on red days, it's you. You are absolutely in control. And it'd be a shame if you were reminded that, you know, there's a lot of emotional trading that happens on Fridays, or rather on red days, especially on red days that are Fridays. People want to just be wiped clean of like any responsibility, maybe close for a loss, and then just head into the weekend, peace of mind. But who knows? Maybe there is a dead cat bounce on Monday. Maybe the market bounces back on Monday. We don't know. But if you make these decisions on the fly emotionally, then it's not going to work out in your favor in the long run. And I think I just want to end with, no one wants to wake up and have to trade responsibly. Like, no one, I think, wants to do that. It's not like a thing that you just naturally want to do. I think it just takes a while for that to become a priority. Maybe it's with the, I don't know, the added responsibility as you get older, right? Like, it'd be hard to have this conversation with someone that's like, I don't know, still in college, or maybe someone that just graduated college, just now getting their first big paycheck from their first job. Because, you know, you just didn't have to exercise this amount of discipline before. And this amount of discipline, or these coming up with rules for yourself and, you know, not breaking the rules, which is definitely the hardest part of all this, is just not breaking the rules. Because coming up with the rules is pretty easy, especially if you just use the you know, the different sayings that people say, like, oh, don't put in more money that you can't afford to lose, or, you know, keep your position sizing 1% max of each for each particular trade, which, you know, even I don't do that one. But, you know, there's just so many different rules you can come up for yourself. So you got to tailor these to meet your expectations of what you can follow, because when you start breaking them, then you don't have a system anymore, and you just go back to emotionally trading. It's hard to convince someone to do this. So I understand that if I say on this podcast, it doesn't mean that you're just going to automatically be motivated to do it. It doesn't mean that even if you are motivated to do it, you're going to stick with it. But I would hope that over a course of time, you know, as we have these like weekly, you know, discussions, and it can definitely be more of a discussion if you come to the stream where there's a chat and we could, you know, chat back and forth. But when you listen to this podcast, you're just being sort of reminded that, hey, Junie is a normal person, not some like YouTube guru, not some like fancy podcast person with millions of listens. You know, Junie's just a normal trader that started on Wall Street Bets, that trades with the Robinhood app. I mean, I don't know how else to like do the Zuckerberg thing and try to be a normal human being. But, you know, I'm just a normal person. I don't have a certification in finance. I'm not like an accountant. I mean, I just build websites for a living. Like that's what I do. But I have these like very simple rules. I feel like the rules that I follow are not even that crazy. It's like rules that you can find online. It's just, I found the collection of rules that work for me in tandem. You know, I none of my rules that I have for myself are unique. You know, I take profits at 50%. I take early 30% winners. I typically only do put credit spreads, you know, for smaller accounts. I like wheels more than I do put credit spreads, because when I lose on a wheel, I get assigned stock that I could then work on covered calls. Very, very standard data gang strategies, everything you can find online for free. But over a period of time, I've picked the standard rules of some of the rules from each rule set that I like the most, and that's what helps me trade. And again, I'd like to emphasize, I'm just a normal person. Like, if you needed an example of what you can do too for free, is just listen to this podcast. Come by the stream if you have time. Ask me questions. Come hang out. It's possible. I'd hate for someone to think that trading is not for them, because if I can do it, you can do it too. And I'm not even trying to sell you anything, right? Like, I'm not saying if I can do it, you can do it. Come join my $5,000 a month trading program. That's not it. I'm not selling you on anything right now. I'm just saying that it's possible, and everything that you need is online for free. And I'm here as a resource for you, especially if you come to the stream and then we could just like chat back and forth. Trading, like I've mentioned not too long ago, has enabled me to do a lot of really cool things in life. For example, I can afford, I don't live in a house, but I can afford a down payment on the house. Maybe I can't afford the mortgage right now, but I could definitely afford a very sizable down payment from saving up responsibly and trading, of course. I can also afford a wedding, you know, because I'm getting married next year to my fiance. Trading has netted me a lot of money over the last 4 years that I've been doing this strictly theta gang strategy. And I would love for you to come by, get a chance to learn, see if it's the right fit for you, because it really is fun. I do think if I had an infinite amount of money, I think just buying and holding shares is better, to be honest. Like, just it's safer and it gives it better return because there's no upside capped, you know. When you sell cash to get your puts and you do covered calls, your upside is capped, but of course you get some protection on the down movements. But assuming you're like rich as Warren Buffett, you're just gonna want to buy shares and just dollar cost average if anything goes bad, because your thesis is that anything that you own should go up because you're, you know, a value investor. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. So if I can do it, you can do it. And these weekly reminders, where maybe the podcast episode is the market is red or whatever, is just a cool moment for you to check in and just be like, where are you in your trading journey? Because as of right now, I guess I'll just give like a stat. Right now, I'm like down $2,005.35 for the day. I'm up 50K on a 300K portfolio for this year. So the total portfolio size is about 350K here. And then year to date on the Robinhood account, on the 5K account, I made $1,471.26. Days like today, they are not amazing, but they are good for a healthy market to keep going up. I don't know, but because by the time you listen to this, it's Monday. I don't know if the market has bounced, or I don't know if the market has continued falling, but the market shouldn't just go up in a straight line. That's not healthy. It usually sketches me out, and I end up starting to trade a little bit less. But I hope today's episode helped act as like a good check-in. Again, reminder to tidy up your watch list if you haven't already. Find a few more rules that will help you define whether or not you will sell for a loss on red days like today. And that could include like picking out some supports and some charts that you're looking at. Maybe like at Nvidia, you look at like the nearest support where, maybe you'll sell some shares at this price level and then sell a little bit more at this price level. But if it gets down to this price level, maybe you'll actually consider buying more. Something like that. So some way to systematically trade, so that you could get off of this like emotional roller coaster that you might be feeling, because it seems like every other day is a big green day or a big red day. And lastly, this is the boring stuff. This is really, really boring, but it's what lets you trade for a long time. It sucks to do like tidying up watch lists, coming up with rules for yourself. Like, who wants to do that? That sounds hella boring. But you need to do it if you expect to trade for a long time. Maybe you don't gotta do all of it today, but just pick one rule today, or just delete like two stocks from your watch list. You don't gotta tidy up everything. It's just small steps make big differences if your horizon is for the rest of your life. Ooh, what an epic one-liner to end the podcast. Sometimes I just like come up with that stuff and I'm like, dang, I said that. That's crazy. I'm bringing up the patron list right now. Give me one sec. Yeah, huge shout out to my patrons. That's Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Mods, Upstream Puddle, NSYS88, Espresso Bean, Joe, Quirt, EDC, Travella Desserts, Kevlar22, Batch of the Thug, Nollub, J Perkins 86, Louis BG, Troop 947, T Wall 3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Rustier, Steve Catsy, The Jester, Grandpa 95, Gruffalo, Young Rich. Scrolling down here. Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Sumatrix, KJ Martin, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Maestro XC, Banadushi, Data Collector, Tyler LM97, Lord Skeletor, Major Tickle Me Elmo, Avrillian, RS Schmitty, Y-Teen, Danube 9000, Jayford, LOL, Danger 10, McFly, Spicy Lemons, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Roostered, Big Dilio, Lloydo, Bearded Savage, Danghai, Clutch, Asha Kabat, Bustin' Justin, Andy V, SWH, JH, Spammy Spam, Arfman, Mememem, Mumble Rit, Vegeta Plank, Kent McMoney, IRL, and Maltman 1856. Oh yeah. Just another huge shout out and huge thank you to everyone that makes this possibility of me doing this full time possible. I ended with an epic one-liner, so there's all my verbiage is done for this podcast episode. Yeah, It's a cool feeling, man. I still haven't told my mom that I've taken this venture full time. I think she would kill me, especially if she figured out that I was paying for health insurance on my own. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And with my mom's, you know, anxiousness, she gets, she's doing a lot better than before. For the longtime listeners, like you might have listened to me talk about my mom a few times. My mom was not doing well, like maybe like 2 years ago. But these days, she's doing pretty good. She's doing pretty good. She has like a group of friends now at a church or something. She goes on daily walks, sometimes like 3 walks a day, and it's just I couldn't ask for anything more. But I don't have it in me to be like, hey, you know, your son that's been, you know, financially and, you know, careerly and fiscally responsible all these years so that you never had to worry. Yeah, he's now laid off, no job, and has a lot of expenses. they're not crazy expenses. My expenses are actually just kind of low. But my mom just would not understand. You know, she's very much like the work until you're unhappy because money keeps you safe type of mentality. And I don't think that's actually a unique take, especially for like, you know, for first generation Asian American kid, or maybe just like any first generation kid in the United States, or first generation adult. You know, I almost said that I'm a kid. Sometimes I feel like a kid at heart for sure, but it's not uncommon for our parents to think like that. It's like they worked so hard to either bring us here where times were more unsafe, times were more uncertain. They went through, like, you know, the 08 depression, or, you know, the Great Recession. They went through that sort of stuff. And yeah. And so anyway, my mom doesn't know, and it's going to stay that way. And I actually see her next week, because my stepdad and her are coming down, and it's gonna be fun. I'm gonna show her a lot of the places around here, because where I live now, with my fiance, compared to where my parents live, it's like night and day difference when it comes to like my mom's favorite foods. My mom loves Korean food, and the Korean food down here is, they say, is almost as good or just as good or better than the food in Korea. So, and compared to the Korean food that I know, because I've eaten it tons of times in my hometown, it's 9 day difference. I think my mom's mind is going to be blown. So that's gonna be really fun, just seeing her reaction to all the different types of food places I would take her to. And yeah, let me see. The leaderboard feature, or the ranking feature, I mean, those features both in tandem for the ThetaGang.com website continue to be one of my favorite changes I've ever done to the website. It is super cool seeing just where everyone stands. Because before, I put a lot of emphasis on just like the trades themselves. You know, it's like if you couldn't see the username or you couldn't see how well a person is doing, it didn't really matter. I just kept a lot of the context just focused on the trade. But giving a little bit of credit to people that have been on the platform for a while and seeing them in higher ranks and still trading, still here after all these years, still uploading trade logs, developing that good habit, I think it also serves as like a really cool example of other people that do it. Because, of course, I'm... what's it like? I am motivated to, or incentivized, that's the word I'm looking for. I'm incentivized to say that I log my trades. I'm incentivized to tell you guys to go to ThetaGang.com. I'm incentivized to do a lot of things that I'm biased towards on the podcast, website, and stream. But what's, I think, just helping the website numbers these days is that you see other people that are higher rank than me on my own website that I've had maybe like a year head start on, that have a higher rank, that are continuing to use the website. So it gives a little bit more ethos, and I'm always looking for more ethos to drive more and more people to just be like, okay, ThetaGain.com is like the number one spot to log your trades, because look at this person, or look at these people. They all have higher ranks than Junie. Let me look at their profile. Wow, they're uploading a lot of trades. I better come back and see if they upload any more. Some stuff like that. So that's been, I'm sure, helping the podcast, or well, the podcast numbers are also up, but the website numbers are up as well. And I think a lot of that is due to DFV coming back. You know, that's reignited a lot of people's fire for options, I'm sure. And that might mean, like, you know, checking on your ThetaGain.com profile. And then, you know, when you come back and you haven't been on maybe for, like, I don't know, a few months, you notice all these changes. Hey, it might motivate you to start logging again. So that's been also top of mind. I've been doing rehab on my, because I tore my right hamstring really bad last year, and I never really focused on strengthening it. So I've been just doing jiu-jitsu basically on a weakened right hamstring. And then my left knee, I want to say, like, I had like a minor tear, but it like snapped, but obviously I'm able to walk on it, so I'm not gonna say it's like a full tear or anything, but I felt like I had a minor tear in my LCL, which is the outer part of the knee. It was my left knee. And something that's been helping me, because I would get knee pain from just kneeling on the ground. So you'll kneel on the ground in jiu-jitsu just to take position sometimes, or like come up, or maybe like you know, you're just in someone's guard or something. I don't know if that's making sense to a lot of you. But anyway, you're on your knees quite often in jiu-jitsu. And I find that my knees hurt when I was, like, kneeling down on them. And I've always known about the knees over toes guy on YouTube. And he, like, tells you to do all these different exercises to strengthen your knees. And, you know, because I did jiu-jitsu, even post-injury, I would do jiu-jitsu, like, 4 days, at least four times a week. So there would be days where sometimes I go twice. But because I was active, I always thought, like, you know, I'm strengthening my knees and my hamstring by just going to class. I'm just getting it up to, back up to par. But I've just recently this week started walking backwards on a treadmill. You know, he advocates quite often about pushing your feet away from the treadmill, being backwards on the treadmill and walking backwards with the treadmill turned off. So you're like moving the conveyor belt backwards with your feet. And so that counteracts against some tendons in your knees, which wouldn't activate if you were just walking forward. And I've been doing that for like the last 4 days. And just yesterday night when I was at jiu-jitsu, I kneeled down for the first time on the mat and my knees didn't hurt. Crazy. And so I've also been doing these like Nordic curls, which is where you like put something in your door and you put your heels underneath it, and then you like, you're laying on the ground and then you sit up and you just pull back with your like hamstrings. Of course, I have to use my arms because my hamstrings are super weak, but the point is, it's a really hard exercise. And just yesterday, it just like, it felt like, just like, because I was just doing this for the last 4 days, it seemed like on the fourth day it's really paid off. Yesterday, I had someone's back, and I had the inside hook on my right leg, which is using my right hamstring. So I'm like curling back on someone's leg with my right leg. And before, I would feel not strong. I'd feel like steady. I could like keep control of someone's back. But yesterday, I was able to like curl my right leg in. And it felt really powerful because I was able to move them to like the other side, which is something that's really hard to do. But I felt like, wow, it was just so easy for me to do it. And I feel like it was because I've been doing these Nordic curls, you know, assisted with my hands, of course. But I feel like my legs and my knees are just in the best condition that they've been in a very long time, like pre-injury. And so, you know, after I finish this podcast episode, because I just finished the stream, I'm just now finishing this podcast episode, I'll go to the, you know, the community gym, just in this apartment complex, whatever, walk back to the treadmill, and then come home and do some Nordic, I just know it has the word Nordic lifts, I think that's what they're called, because wow. And so this is just a reminder, if you feel like you have weak knees. I mean, so far, I'm a believer. Like, I think that if you do these exercises, you can have what he considers, I don't remember what his name is, I just know him as the knees over toes guy. He always talks about, like, hey, surgery should be your last option, that you should do all this first and make sure you just have build strength in, you know, the areas that, you know, people just don't typically work on. Dude, you have to try it. Like, I am all about not resorting to medication or painkillers because that only solves the symptom and stuff. I don't want to do surgery unless if it's like absolutely required. Bro, if you have, or sis, or, you know, whatever you go by, if you have knee pain, I highly suggest this. I'm a believer right now because being able to kneel down yesterday on the mats felt so good. I was just in the best mood yesterday because my knees didn't hurt. Because, you know, doing jiu-jitsu all the time and then just realizing that, hey, there's a possibility that you're going to just enjoy it less for the rest of your life or the rest of my life wasn't a good feeling. I was like, wow, am I going to feel this, like, pain every time I kneel down? And it was getting to my mood for sure. But, hey, I'm all for, you know, developing strength and being able to do this for a long time, longevity, trade a long time, don't blow up, all this stuff. There's a lot of parallels I have with jiu-jitsu and training. But this knee thing, you know, because I have an older demographic. Your knees don't got to hurt in your 30s. And I'd almost say that even in your 40s, your knees shouldn't hurt. Give this exercise a try. Look up knees over toes on YouTube. He's like a whole collection of, you know, different collaborations with maybe some other fitness people that you might be watching if you're into fitness. But I'm a fan. So thanks for coming to my TED Talk about knee health. It's just really important to me because I'm a pretty active person. And gains inside the market and outside the market. I love you all. I'm going to get started with my knee/hamstring rehab. And I hope you guys all have a fantastic week. And I'll see you guys next week for next week's podcast episode. But if you do want to see me live, chat with me live, have a discussion live, you can just come ask me questions at twitch.tv/realthetagang, 9 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Thank you, and bye-bye.